Bible said, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the privilege that we have to stand behind the sacred desk again tonight. And Lord, realize that I can't do what needs to be done. You know the limitations of my mind tonight, my body. And Lord, you know everything that is done here tonight in the flesh will be of no value. But God, if somehow or another you can allow me to get out of the way and rest upon your bosom for a while and use me as your mouthpiece to speak to this church, Father, when I'm done, I'll be eternally grateful and give you all of the glory. We ask everything that we ask tonight in the precious, lovely name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I want to preach to you tonight with this thought in mind as God gives me the outline. I don't really have this alliterated, but I do have it outlined. But I want to preach to you tonight with this thought in mind on a church that God loves. I want to take my text tonight out of verse number 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. I'm glad tonight that I know that God loves me as an individual. I'm glad that I know that John 3:16 is still a reality. I don't have to wonder about that. I didn't go to bed last night wondering if God loved me. I know God loves me. Brother Bill, today I didn't have to wonder if he did. All I've got to do is look back to Calvary and know that God loves sinners and loves them today. But I want to say to you tonight, Brother Herb, I'm glad that he loves me. I'm glad that he loves you. The Apostle Paul said, I rejoiced when I saw the grace of God in you. I want to say to you tonight, I rejoice when I see the grace of God in your life and how that God has saved you. But I want to say tonight, I'm glad that the last book of the Bible let me know that God loves the church. Amen. And the Bible said that he loved it and gave himself for it. And I know he loves the church in all the ages, Brother David. But I'm glad this Philadelphian church is the only church God said of these seven. He said, I will make them to know that I have loved thee. And I'm telling you, that takes a lot of molding. It takes a lot of making. It takes a lot of forming on the church for the sinner to know that God loves this congregation. I want to ask you a question tonight. Do you want a church that God loves? Do you want a church that God thinks a lot of? Do you want a church that God is willing to come and meet with? Do you want a church that God is willing to move in and out of the pews and change lives? This is the kind of church that God loves. What kind of church is it? Real simple. The outline follows the text. The first thing that we see is this church that God loves is a church of brotherly love. The name Philadelphia means brotherly love. The city that we have named in our country of that, of course, means the same thing, but they don't know what it means. Amen. They're killing one another fast as they can in them cities, but I want to tell you, in a church that God loves, there is brotherly love in the pulpit. And in the pew, I want you to understand something. Love is compassion. but it ain't compromise. Love is compassion, but it's not compromise, Brother Jim. Love looks at the sinner in the condition that he's in, and in compassion, he pities that man or that woman or that child and wishes and prays and hopes that they will come someday to know Christ and be delivered, Brother David. That's compassion. But love that says it's love and it's not love, that it compromises, says you come on in, live however you want to, look like you want to, do like you want to. We're not going to say anything about anything you do. That ain't love. That's deception is what that is. That is a man who is unwilling to tell the truth about what's going on in the pew. So if that's the case, if a church is a church of brotherly love, I've heard people say about this congregation, well, y'all just don't love folk. You don't love people. Yeah, that's the reason we spend I don't know how many thousands and thousands of dollars every year just getting the gospel out, sending missionaries around the world to try to get the gospel out, because we don't love folk. That's the reason church spends all kinds of money helping families in this congregation. There's not hardly a family in here at all that hadn't been helped at some point in their life by the congregation of this church. But we don't love folk, but we're willing to help you when you're down, when you're out, and when you're wrong, we're willing to tell you that. And we're willing to let you repent and restore you. That's brotherly love. Brotherly love, chances if I see you out in sin, it's coming to you and say, brother, I want to tell you, this is wrong. According to God's word, this is wrong, and you need to get out of it. That's brotherly love. Amen. Compromise, say, well, don't you worry about it. I'm not going to say one word. Amen. Amen, Brother Mike. Compromise will say, it's all right however you do and whatever you do, just go ahead and do your thing. And we'll just let you be whatever you want to be, but we ain't going to say nothing about it. But that's not a church of brotherly love. Amen. See, brotherly love wants to keep it where the love of God can flow free. Brotherly love in this church, Brother Jim, wants to keep it so that the love of God can convict sinners. But when the Holy Ghost is grieved, and when he is quenched, Brother Bill, because of compromise or because of strife and envy, then that love of God is interrupted and the flow of it is interrupted. Now, Brother Bill helped me wire my house when we were putting the electric in, and he was telling me everything that I needed to do. He said, now make sure that you don't kink that wire. If we kinked it, we had to cut it out and put another wire in. Amen. Don't kink that wire. Now, as far as I was concerned, that kinking that wire wasn't going to do a thing. The electricity was still going to flow. But Brother Bill knew that somewhere down the line, that wire might get moved and be bent again, or it might interrupt some of the electrical flow current through that line. So he said, make sure you keep the line straight. Well, what happens in the church is when brotherly love is not exercised, Brother Josh, that kink in that line ties up a knot in that current that's coming from God to his church. Now, we're not the light, but we are a light set on a hill. But we have no power to illuminate anything. There, we don't have any current within ourselves, spiritually speaking, to illuminate anything. Neither did this church at Philadelphia. But this church had the ability to let the power of God flow through it and illuminate all those around it. And when that line is kinked because brotherly love is not exercised in the congregation, then that power is hindered in the life of those around the church. It's also hindered in your life. Now, not only the church that Jesus loves or that God loves is this a church of brotherly love, which is a love is compassion and not compromise, but it is a church that has not denied his name. Excuse me. In verse number 8, thou hast little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Now, what we want to believe is that just as long as we say we believe that Jesus is Lord, that's what he's talking about, and he is talking about that. Somebody hymns you up in the corner at school or on the job or wherever it may be in Walmart and said, you believe in the name of Jesus. You're supposed to stand up boldly with a backbone like a sawlog and say, yes, I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he died on an old rugged cross. I believe he got up in 3 days. That ain't half the story. I believe the church is his representative on this earth. And one day he's coming back to get it. You say, well, I wouldn't say it like that. Well, I don't say it like that every time, but sometimes I have. And it wouldn't hurt you to do it that way every once in a while. Some people say, well, I ain't like you. I don't say it like you do and everything else. Well, I ain't like you either, but sometimes I say it like you do. Why don't you try it my way for a while? Amen. It might give you a whole new outlook on life, but listen. He said, you have not denied my name. But not only does he not want us to deny his name, Miss Rebecca, in word, but he don't want us to deny his name in our deeds. He said, I know thy works. You don't work with your mouth, you work with your hands. Now, but contrary to some people's popular belief, you don't work with your mouth. Now, I know some people make a living with their mouth, amen, but they ain't doing much work. They might be making a living, but they ain't doing much work. But I'm saying you don't work with your mouth, you work with your hands. He said, you have not denied me in your works. The way that you live, the things you do, the help you are to your brothers and sisters in Christ out of a heart of compassion for them and for those around you. He said, that's the kind of church that I love. I want to ask you this question again. Do you want a church that God loves? Oh, I love my church. I do too. I do, Brother Jim. I love this place. I tell you how much I do love it. I tell you how much I do love it, Brother Mike. Some of you, if you decide you don't like it, you know what you got to do? Pack your duds up and go back to wherever it is you come from, because you didn't come very far. But I'll tell you something. Hey, some of us in this place, Brother Adam, that left everything we knew and everybody we knew to have a place to go. And I'm willing to stand behind that man of God and do whatever that man of God wants to do in order to see it stay that way, sis. Amen. I'm telling you, Brother Jim, I love this place. I love this building. I love this place. I love these grounds. I love that school. I love the deacons. I love the members. I love the choir. I love the special singing. I love the piano playing, the drums and the bass. I love it all. Amen. If you don't like it, don't let me know. The preacher said he's putting in an ordinance the other night that the deacon's wives couldn't keep nothing from him, amen. He ain't got to put in an ordinance for me to keep not to keep it from him, because if I know it, I'll tell it. And if you say, well, I didn't know that about you, well, if you know it now, amen. Amen. And I will tell it. If you don't believe me, you just ask some of the young people that's come up in this church or some of the other people, amen, I'm telling you, if I know it, I'll tell it. Amen. Why? Because I love this place. But you know what, Brother Jeremiah? God loves this place. Hey, you say, how do you know God loves it, Brother Mike? Well, number one, I know he loves it because of the servant that he sent to start it. He picked a boy up out of South Carolina, out from around his family, out from around his friends, out there minding his own business, mowing his yard, and God broke his heart for Kentucky. I know God loves it because of the servant that he sent it. But I not only know God loves it because of the servant that he sent it, I know that God loves it because of the spirit that he gives it. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit either. I'm talking about the spirit of the church. You know what I'm talking about, like your attitude, your disposition. This church has a spirit of worship about it, amen. I like that, amen. I like a place that don't mind saying hallelujah, amen, and glory to God, and hallelujah, and running and shouting, amen. I've seen them coming across the backs of the pews. I've seen them running up and down aisles. I've seen them piggybacking, amen, around the auditorium. I ain't never seen it like that. Stick around a while, you will. Amen. You say, well, I never would do it that way. I know it. It just leaves more for me. Amen. If you don't want to enjoy it, I do. I like it. I know God loves the church because of the spirit that he gave it. He gave it a spirit of worship. But not only did he give it a spirit of worship, I know God loves his church because of the spirit that resides here. You say, he resides with us. I know it. And I know we're the church. And you say, well, it ain't a building. I ain't getting into all that. I could disprove every bit of that, but I'm not going to tonight. But I'm going to tell you something, Brother Jim. The Holy Ghost is in me and you. And when we come together, he's in here. He's in us in here, but he is in here, amen. And you know, Miss Bubbles, what makes the difference in this service? It ain't Brother David, it ain't Brother Jim, it ain't the preacher, it ain't Brother Joe, it ain't the choir, but it's the sweet touch of the Holy Ghost of God. I'm moving it out of every pew, I'm touching lives and a changing men for the glory of God. Allison, you know what made you feel the way you have in the last few weeks? It ain't the preacher. Oh no, it ain't me, it ain't the choir. It's that good Holy Ghost of God. It's that good, sweet oil out of heaven, amen. I'm touching the lives of people and changing them. I know he loves the church because of the Spirit that resides here. I know he loves his church. He loves his church because it accepts sinners. He said, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, and do lie. But do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship. Notice what it said. And worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. I struggled with that worship before thy feet part a little bit. God said, Dane, Holy Ghost got to bearing witness with me about that scripture, and this is what he said. Don't you worry about that bound before your feet. I'm not talking about them bound. I didn't say they was going to bow down and worship you. He said, I just said they was going to worship at your feet. What he's talking about is those that are of the synagogue of Satan and say they're Jews and are not. He's talking about them that claim to be but ain't. But he said, you keep doing what I tell you to do. You keep doing the things that I told you to do. And there's going to come a day that I'm going to let the sinners that are around you come before you, that have made fun of you, that have made fun of the way you worship and the way you serve God. I'm going to make them come and worship me before you. Ooh. Boy, I like that, amen. I like that a whole lot. There's a whole lot of them. I can't wait to see them get saved. They made fun of me for years, amen. For the way I worship God, Brother Tarvin. But I've seen that same crowd, the Holy Ghost of God, get to move and they get saved by the grace of God. And before you know it, tear up worshiping God. Amen. Amen. Oh, yes, he said, I'm going to let them sinners come. He said, but in order for them to come and worship before you, you have to be willing to accept them. I'm thinking of a lady right now that absolutely despises this church and despises my pastor. But I want to tell you something. If she walked in that back door and sat down and the Holy Ghost of God dealt with her heart and she got saved, I'm telling you the man that would worship the most would be the man she hates the worst. You know why God loved that church in Philadelphia? He said, you've not got much strength, but I've set before you an open door and no man can shut it. He said that I'm going to send sinners and let them come before you and worship me because I know you will accept them. I was talking to Brother Andy Wells the other night, and he had this old hippie got saved. He said somehow or another, he's a stoner is what he was. Smoking dope for you old folks, dope heads what he was. He come in there and he stood up. He'd stand up and testify and say, man, I love God. I've got God in my heart. That's all he knows. Lost is the ball in high weeds, and the boy got saved. He goes, Brother Andy said, he come in there and stood up and said, he goes to church every time he can find a place to go, including his church. He went to his sister's church. He said, man, I went up there and got a shot of God at her church. Now, some of you would have a heart attack if he stood up and said that like that. Hey, but you know what I'd say? Glory to God, amen. I'm glad that sinners are coming in. I might be a little rough on the saints, Brother Mike. I might be. But I'm telling you, when them sinners come in, I don't think a thing about it. Amen. I'm telling you what's true. I talked to Brother Brian Durden. He said they had old boy get saved. He wanted to get up and sing. He come to him and said, brought his guitar. Said, can I sing? And he said, well, yeah, go ahead and sing. He got it. He said, I didn't like the style he sung it in. Said, he done a pretty good job singing. Said, the guitar was about half out of tune. He said, but the church was loving it. People was amen and shouting. He said, and I loved it. He said, but there's some people there didn't love it. Well, oh well. Sorry about your luck, amen. If you'd have seen me, if you'd seen me 2 weeks after God saved me, you wouldn't thought much of me either. You'd have wondered if I really got it, probably, amen. Amen. But I'm telling you, I did. That's been 20 years ago. I got it. Hey, you don't worry about it, amen. I promise you, I got it. I know I got it, amen. He's in here. Thank God for a church that loves sinners. I'm telling you, I thank God for it. You say, we've seen hard times. I know we've seen hard times, but God's still sending sinners by. You say, we've seen some rough times. I know it, but God is still sending sinners by. You say, we're having a hard time. Yeah, but we still got tent season coming up. Having a hard time. Had 3 kids saved last night at juvenile detention. Having a hard time. Brother Tarvin seen all kinds of people saved and doors opened. Why? Because God loves us, that's why. Say, does God love all the churches that are in America today? No, I don't believe he does. I know he loves them in a general sense, I guess, but God, you say, well, God is angry with them. Yeah, I know it, but something about this Philadelphian church, God never gave her a rebuke, and all he ever said about her was good. He said, let me just tell you. He said, I'm not only going to let you know I love you, but I'm going to make this world know that I love you. Thirdly tonight, or fourthly, he loves a church that will keep his word. In the good times and in the bad times. I'll tell you something. Young people, young families, boys and girls thinking about getting married. I'll tell you something tonight. Brother Kenny, everything's wonderful right now, son. But God's going to see to it that your love is tried. Not for his sake. He knows what you are. He's going to do it for mine. And for Brother Joe's. And for Brother Jenkins. So we'll know what you are. Brother Steve, he's going to put the pressure on you to see if you'll keep that word even when it hurts you. Miss Bethany, he's going to let the devil put the pressure on you to see if you really believe what that book has to say. And he may send you through by a graveside of a child. He may send you through a fiery trial in your relationship with your husband or wife, or the fiery trial of your own children, or your close friends. Because he wants you to be able to show everybody, Charity, not only that he loves you, but that you love him enough to keep his word in the bad days. Are you willing to keep that book and to live by that book when it's wonderful and everything's coming up roses, or when you're in the mire and you're up to your thighs and you can't even walk? When you crawl out of your bed at night weeping before you're even all the way awake, and you're falling down beside your bed calling out to his name saying, oh God, help me through. Lord, I know you said you'd never leave me. That book said you'd never leave me. I can't find you. I can't feel you. I can't trace you, amen. But I know that book said you'll always be there. Will you trust him then? Now, what about a church, Brother Jim? Now, when they're dropping like flies, and men do fade as a leaf, great falling away is all around us now. And we're right in the middle of it. Brother Crawford, you still going to believe that book? You going to believe that, Brother Kenneth, Moe, Tim? Y'all going to believe that book? When you see how they look, you see how they react, you see them get up and leave when the preacher, when they don't like what's being said, you see them when they don't like it, when the choir sings, you see all of that, you still going to believe that book? If you're going to be a church that God loves, you will. church that God loves. There's some things he said he'll do for it, and I'll be done. Number one, he said, I will give you an open door. Praise God. I think it was his brother Jeremiah or somebody said a while back, he'd never seen anything, church go through things like it's going through, but he'd never seen a tent season like we ever had, like we had last year. Youth attention work seems like God's opening doors there. I mean, there's things we're praying about that I never dreamed that I'd be praying about for the youth attention centers. Brother Darvin, the doors are just, I mean, God's just, and people say, well, if I leave, they won't be able to pay the bills. I've seen them withhold their tithes from the down through the years. I've seen them leave and think they took the money, but they didn't take the money, amen. Because they ain't got the money. God's got the money. Amen. And as long as God has got it and given it to us, the church will have the money. Amen. Whew. Praise God. Hallelujah. Feel like I can throw his pulpit out in the middle of that floor. Amen. I'm telling you, God is able to keep the church in the midst of her trial. Church needs hard times. I've said this about individuals. You need hard times in your life to prove who your friends are. You'll find out in hard times who your friends really are, who really loves you. You'll find out in hard times in the church who really loves the church and who don't. It'll knock some people out. Don't get nervous now. It'll knock some out, but it'll knock some of them in. And there'll be people do things. After things settle back down, there'll be people that will do things that you never dreamed would do stuff for the glory of God. I didn't get anything yesterday, and I've been through more than one church fight in my life. And I ain't talking about on the phone church fights. I'm talking about in the middle of the aisle church fights. And they ain't been in here. Hallelujah. I'm glad I ain't had to deal with that here. But about everywhere I was at before then, it was that way. Amen. It was rough. I told my wife, I said, everything we went through after we first got saved, it wouldn't we wonder, we wouldn't a reprobate. But somehow or another, Brother Bill, God just kept me going back. And one day, I never will forget, I didn't know, Brother Gene Voss was my pastor. I loved him. I supported him. I stayed with him. And one day we had a revival meeting, and a little old blonde-headed, blue-eyed preacher come out of Kentucky and got behind the pulpit and preached a message I've never forgot. And if I could have remembered the outline, I might have even thought about preaching it tonight. But he preached a message entitled, Making Much of the Man of God. Mercy did he get us in trouble. Woo! I'm telling you, it wasn't like around here, man. The deacons, we wanted to give him a raise. You ain't giving him a raise. We started paying his power bill. Lord help him. He had only been there 10 years, and they just started paying his power bill. So us young boys, young men got together and took up. We said, well, we're just going to put extra in offering and designate it to him. They said, that'd be fine, but we ain't giving him a raise. That's what I come up in. But God said, I've said before, I've seen that crowd leave, say, oh, they'll shut the doors now. Can't pay the power bill. I'm going to tell you something, friend. They ain't got all the money, and they ain't got none of the power. Amen. I don't say that again. God just gave me that. That's fresh out of heaven. They ain't got all the money, and they ain't got none of the power, amen. The power that keeps them lights on. It might be running through RECC, but when it leaves the port, it leaves heaven, amen. Amen. Did you hear what I said? I said, I know that wouldn't fit in any kind of engineering class, Brother Josh. Understand that. But I'm telling you, the power that's keeping them lights on ain't the power at RECC. If it's up to them in the world, them lights had been off years ago. Power that's keeping them lights on comes from a power plant far higher than RECC. It ain't coal-fired either. It's Holy Ghost-fired, amen, and kept real good and old by the sweet Holy Ghost of God. So don't you worry about the power bill being paid, friend. It'll get paid. As long as you keep giving, I promise you it's going to get paid. And if you quit giving, it'll still get paid. Hallelujah. If he can let Brother Herb make a living doing muscles, he can let us make a living doing anything, friend. Whew, there wasn't that much in there when I got up here. Got an open door. Good thing is nobody can shut it, is what I'm trying to tell you. He's going to make sinners know that he loves us. I've already dealt with that. But not only that, he said, the church that I love now, he said, I'm going to keep you from the hour of temptation, which will come upon the wall of the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. And boy, I've really thought about that for a long time, probably a year. I thought about that one phrase in that verse, Brother Tim. People argue about that rapture, when it's going to take place. There ain't no doubt in my mind. I know. You say, you know, day? No, I don't know the day or the hour, but I know when. I know when she's going. I know when we're going to get out of here. But I want to tell you something. I'll tell you what I believe, what I found out of this text after a year, Brother Joshua, meditating on this. Tell you what I think I found out. The only people that believe they're getting out before it starts is that Philadelphian church. Woo! Hallelujah! Send that to all y'all millennials friends, amen. All you mid-tribbers, send that to them. Tell them to study that out and see if it don't come to the same conclusion. Amen. I ain't saying that we're getting out in different times. But the only people believe they're getting out before the tribulation period is that Philadelphian church. Woo! Glory! I ain't a going through it not one minute, amen. I'm a looking for the clouds. I ain't a looking for the clouds. I'm looking for the upper taker and not the undertaker. That'll help you, amen. Deliverance. He's going to give them hope. He said, behold. Are you discouraged tonight, saint of God? Are you a little bit down? Things ain't going your way. Friends forsaking you. The bills are piling up. And the monies are sinking down. Is your heart broke? Is your life in a mess? And you feel like there ain't no hope? Jesus said, hold on a second. Before you get too discouraged. Behold, I come. But not only am I coming. I'm coming quickly. He said, just a little while. And he that shall come will come. Woo! Hey, it ain't a fairy tale. It's still real. He said, I will come. And you mark her down, Bethany. He's going to come quickly. Just a little while. Some of you boys and girls got hopes and dreams. Trav, you may never get to move in that new house on that hill. But you might get to moving that on that other hill. Amen. Whew. Hey, I may not make it back to the house, but don't you worry. I will make it home. Amen. I may take a detour before I get there, but I will make it home. Amen. I said, don't you worry, little flock, he said. I said, don't you worry. Said, here's your hope in the time of troubles and trials. Behold, I come quickly. And the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel. And the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, twinkling of the eye, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I think I got that. Pretty close. And it's going to happen so quick, Brother Adam. I tell you what I'd like to be doing. I'd like to be sitting there praying in my secret time, maybe 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, Brother Jim. I'm sitting there praying, saying, Lord, I've gone about as far as I can go. What's the sound? What's that sound? Look over there, and all of a sudden, that form that's laid beside me now for almost 25 years, how changes. I said, what's happening? Something's going on. Now look outside. It ought to be dark, but it's bright. and the night is past, and the morning is come, and the saints are together. Whew. What is that I hear? Is that the sound of a trumpet? I believe, Brother Jim, I believe I can almost hear him wetting his lips, getting ready to blow, amen. I believe those saints are gathered saying, how long? Oh, how long? Oh, praise God, hallelujah. I'm glad I'm in a church that God loves. Little children, he's coming. Fear not, I know the night has been long and weary. Fear not, little children, he's coming. I know that the days have grown dark and dreary, but fear not, little children, I know he's coming. You say, my heart is broken, Brother David. My life is in a mess. But fear not, little children. I know he's coming. I know he's coming. I know, I know, I know that he's coming. I can't imagine Tiff having one that little right now. That's my little buddy. He loves me to death for some reason. I don't even know why, but he does. Brother Joe and I look at this world, and I don't know what he might have to face. I don't know, Beck. But this one thing I know. One day he's coming. He may have to watch his mom and daddy give their life, Brother Mo, for the cause of Christ. I don't believe we'll be here for 1 minute of the tribulation, but I do believe that we're going to suffer. And what we need, can I tell you something? I'm not being mean. I'm not being arrogant or anything else, Brother Jim. I'm just being honest with you. As far as I know, I'm across the river. As far as I know, Brother Joe, I've been there. I've seen Canaan. I know what it's like to live in victory. And I know them spies went over and come back. But I'll be honest with you, I ain't coming back. But I tell you what I will do. On Jordan's stormy banks, I will stand. And I will beckon you to this side. And I'll say, come here, children. Right here's the path. God parted the water. Come on across. What this church needs is for you to be a serious Christian so that when he dies, there's somebody there to take his place. He needs you, Travis. This church, it don't need you tomorrow. It needs you now. It needs you, Luke. It needs you now, Zach. It needs you now. It needs you now to worship God. It needs you to practice now your faith. It needs you now to worship. It needs you to serve Him now. Now, I'll tell you something. Just to give you a testimony, it's a whole lot better over here than it is over yonder where you're at. What kind of church does God love? He loved that Philadelphian church. That's the church he loved. He said, I'm going to prove it to everybody. People, a lot of times, they hear about the struggles and the trials of the church. And there'll be factions around this country, Brother Josh. I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to be a member of Pleasantview Baptist Church, you're not going to be well thought of in the religious community. If you think this church is going to boost your career, you're wrong. It might destroy your career, but it ain't going to boost it. You're not going to get invited. Preachers, you listen to me. I've been here a long time as a preacher boy. You ain't get invited to the Ministerial Association meeting. That's all right. If I went, they wouldn't have me one time, no way. So, because I always let the newest preacher in the area preach the meeting. So you know they ain't going to have me back. So why even go the first time? They ain't going to listen no way. The big boys ain't going to call you for a conference. If they do, they won't call you but one time. And then you'll get nasty emails from them. But I ain't worried about them, Ray. Because God said he'll prove to that crowd. He will. I won't have to. He will. That he loves us. And when they get in a bad shape, I was driving down the road the other night. Old boy called me from over in Indiana. Lost his ball in high weeds. I've been witnessing to him, telling about the Lord. Trying to point him to Jesus. He called me, tore up. We was going down to Bowling Green, I think, together. What? He said, David, could you pray for us? He said, one of my best friends died with a heart attack last night. 58 years old, died in his sleep. Now, he don't know it. But God just made that man come before my feet and worship God. He's saying, David, you know the only one that can help me. And I need you to pray. Oh, yes. This thing ain't near over, Brother Mike. We still got a lot to do. But we're only going to do that through the power of God. And the power of God is going to be made manifest in a church that he loves. You're the only pumpkin in the patch. This church is the only pumpkin in the patch. It's the only pumpkin in my patch. If you belong here, it's the only pumpkin in yours too. If you belong here. Now if you don't belong here, you need to find the pumpkin you belong in. Old nursery rhyme said, had a wife and couldn't keep her. Put her in a pumpkin shell and there he kept her very well. Find the pumpkin you belong in and stay there. What kind of church does God love? I don't know every kind. I don't know every detail there is to know about this church. I have studied and have a lot in my notes, but I will tell you this. This is the kind of church that God loves. This kind. We're not the only church he loves. There's other Philadelphian congregations. I believe you can find yourself in any state. I can't help being a part of this age. That ain't my fault. That's when I was born. That's God's business. But God's left it up to me to determine what kind of church I'm going to stay in. Brother Hanley Milby preached, I'm a Philadelphian church. I'm a Philadelphian believer or something like along that lines. I ain't never heard the message, but he was telling me he preached on that church at Philadelphia. He said, that's where he stays. He said, that's where I want to stay. I want to say amen. That's where I want to stay. Keep me there. You can have this watered down, so soft soaping, no good for nothing religious atmosphere if you want. But I want that old time, Brother G. Mathias said, I want it like a Wendy's hamburger, old fashioned, hot and juicy. That's the way I like it. Listen to me. I like the preaching. I like the preaching when it ain't nothing but blood and guts in the cracks and blood on the wall and hide hanging from the chandeliers. I like that, and I like it when it's glory. But I ain't never seen it get very high until the flesh got real low. I'll tell you this, share this with you, and I'll be done. I remember going to, we first started going to camp meeting down at Taylor, South Carolina. And I'm telling you, on Monday morning, it started. And if you was doing it, somebody that was preaching was against it. I don't care what it was. I mean, I've heard them heathens preaching against coon hunting. I've heard bass fishing. I mean, there's some people, they didn't believe in doing nothing. But I'm telling you, they had those people, they had a heart to live right, Brother Mike. They wanted to see you live right. And they would preach to you. You said, oh God, it's me.
until God got you in a place to where you was willing to give up coon hunting and bass fishing and eating and everything else. That's what it took to have the power of God move. And people would get in the altar, and that old prayer room up there on the side of the hill would fill up, and preachers, they wouldn't be but two or three in there on Monday. By Tuesday morning, there'd be 4, 5, 6, 10 people in there. Tuesday afternoon, it'd fill up a little bit more. People begin to pray. God begin to move. And just about Wednesday, when you thought that they surely wasn't nothing in the Bible but judgment and wrath and condemnation, just about Wednesday, the Holy Ghost of God moving that place. And I'm telling you, Brother Jim, I've seen it, I mean, sore. But it had to get that flesh carved off first. We got Jubilee coming up, and I'll tell you something. We are a church that God loves. What the people come to this church need to know is that He does. Not because of us, but because, Robert, He manifests Himself in such a mighty way that they cannot stand to stay where they're at. But they've got to move up a little closer. If you want to be a church that God loves tonight, if you want to be a part of that church, you're going to have to allow God to work in your life and not do things that may not be wrong, but there may be things that are just not expedient, and lay aside the weights and the sin that does so easily beset us. And run with patience that course that God has for this church. Now I want to ask you, young boys and young ladies, something. If Sunday depended on you shouting, how much shouting would you have? If Sunday depended on you testifying, how many testimonies would we have Sunday? If there ain't no Brother Herb or Brother Jim, if there ain't none of them, if Jeremiah ain't here and leading the choir and you praying and finding the mind of God for the songs, could you get in touch with God and find out what He wanted for the service? Randy and Rodney, if it depended on you worshiping God, that's all the worship we're going to have. What preacher come in and said, today, all the worship we're going to have is going to be Rodney and Randy. That's it. If we don't worship God today, if ain't no worship done in the service, it's going to be them two boys' fault. I wonder if you'd be up to the task. I'll tell you something. I've seen your brother when he wasn't much older than you doing it. I remember at Pleasant View when Keith Voles looked like he had glasses that thick. I didn't think he could see past the nose on the end of his face and come around that end of that pew shouting like an old man when he was a little old kid and God touching his heart. I like it, friend. You say, I don't like that loud, wild stuff. You're going to have a hard time if God will give me a few more years, amen. I want this to be a church God loves. You say, I'm going to drag you out of Philadelphia. You'll have to drag me out by my cold, dead feet. We're going to make it so it's like we want it. I'll let you have it. But I ain't being a part of it. Preacher ain't either, amen. You saying you being bold? No, I'm not. I've heard him say that. I want to be a church that God loves, don't you?